Good evening. You're listening to Skip Intro with me, Kelvin Yee. In the studios with me is Ian McNally. Now, today's show is another edition of Watch Now in association with Astro, the home for horror fans. And today we are looking at a number of horror movies available on demand with connected Wi-Fi enabled PVR or the Astro Go app. So Ian, where do we start?
Well, seeing for the time that's in it, we have to start with the latest installment of the Halloween series.
I've waited for him.
We really can't get enough of these films. This is like, I jokingly compare things to Fast and Furious for how convoluted a timeline they might have and how many there are.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's usually because the Fast and Furious is in such a short period of time. This is going back to the 70s. If you're looking for a classic slasher film with a twist, I think Halloween has to be the franchise to go to. Halloween is always a series with the boogeyman, Michael Myers.
Mm.
He's not really supernatural. He's not, you know, a weird disfigured monster or any of that kind of thing. He's just a guy in a mask who will not stop and apparently teleports from one spot to another really quickly and gets up on you really scary. And, you know, he's one of those characters that just started the whole boom of like your Jasons, your Freddies, all these kind of guys who, the slasher genre, they kind of invented it. And with the new movie, they really redefined it again as something different. Because they've done this, I mean, there was one called Halloween H2O, which Jamie Lee Curtis was in as well, mm-hmm. which was revisionist as well, and one of those many 11 that they've done. This one is, again, just a perfect take for now. It kind of takes what it wants from the series, puts in what it wants as well. You know, you got Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode. Is, you know, she's grown up quite a lot since that babysitter who was stalked by Michael Myers. They make references to things like, oh, there's a rumor that Michael Myers was her brother, which was something from one of the earlier movies that they just decided, nah, that's stupid. We don't want to do that. But like Sarah Connor from the Terminator franchise, this is a woman who's like, she's not going to wait for the slasher to come for her. And there's a great taking that slasher genre and then flipping it a little bit on its head where at points, Laurie Strode is stalking Michael Myers.
Oh.
It's a really enjoyable way to kind of reboot the series. You've got Judy Greer in there as well. Like, they have three generations of her family essentially trying to fend them off. And she's had 20 plus years. I think it's 40 years. This came out 40 years to the day of the babysitter murders that he gets out again. There's also, you know, for modern day audiences, there's a very nice thing about podcasters being idiots. The whole thing that sets Michael Myers off, like they start with him in jail. The whole thing that starts him off is podcasters come to ask him about like the murders he's done and shake his mask in front of him, which if you don't know, it's just a white mask he wears. That was originally a William Shatner mask from the 70s. Like, it was a Captain Kirk mask they painted white and just him in a jumpsuit and a knife chasing people.
What a bad image for podcasters, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of got what they deserved. When they introduced themselves as true crime podcasters, you're thinking, these guys deserve to die horribly.
It's like a parody of Serial. Is this also one of those horror movies where they just take place mostly in someone's home where you're supposed to, survive the night or something?
It takes elements of that. I mean, the whole thing is that he escapes. But one of the things it does to kind of reignite the horror for modern audiences, there's certain scenes where you're used to in a horror movie, you know, the rules. If you go upstairs or you go say, I'll be right back, everything the Scream movies parodied, you know, those are the reasons you're going to die. One of the most terrifying parts of the new Halloween movie is he just wanders into someone's house and randomly kills them.
Mm.
Like, it's kind of terrifying. There's a scene where he walks by a baby and people were just freaking out. Like, they had no idea, did he go back and kill the baby? It's a terrifying thing to think of. And just like this, you know, most murders that actually happen in reality are, you know, usually, I think it's 80% or something like that, are by people who actually know the victim. The victim knew them. Whereas those are some of the most effective scenes in this movie. When he does eventually get to his intended victims, like I said earlier, Laurie Strode's been prepared. So it's not so much that she has to survive and try to get out of the house. It's that he has to survive and get out of the house. And it's a really good reversal. And they also do some nice stuff with the shots that are almost identical to the first movie, but the roles are changed.
Oh.
So it's, I think if you're looking for something, you know, that's old school, but also new school. And I don't think I was terrifically terrified watching it, but it's very enjoyable to watch. And Jamie Lee Curtis is like, you know, these people used to complain so much about, you know, older actresses not getting work. And it's fantastic that they are getting work. And not only that, they're getting to revisit characters from their youth. I brought up Terminator Day with Linda Hamilton as well. We'll see her later in this week as well. But Jamie Lee Curtis is just fantastic in this as a crazy old bat who has like shotguns all around her house. And she's just, it really, she sells the movie.
Is she crazy or is she just ready?
Yeah, that's the question, right?
And also available is The Nun.
What did you see?
I saw a nun. Word of my visions reached the church.
What's that all about?
So taking it from the quite grounded, apart from, you know, Michael Myers' ability to catch up on you really, really quickly, to the completely fanciful and supernatural. The Nun is another entry in the Conjuring series, which, again, like the Fast and the Furious, is going all over the place. This is going back to, like, you know, well in the past in Romania. And I think Valak turned up in The Conjuring 2 as, like, a demon who takes the face of a nun. Or the appearance of a nun. And it's a very, you know, it would be a very effective visual if it wasn't that Marilyn Manson had already done it so many years ago in all those music videos. And this just kind of is your fun, spooky, jump scare movie that isn't incredibly serious. Mm. It plays itself serious, but it's not really doing that. It's got Thaisa Farmiga, who is Vera Farmiga's younger sister, who Vera Farmiga is in The Conjuring with Patrick Wilson. And it's just this romp in a castle full of nuns, and you're like, the nuns are a bit creepy, but like something's going on here. The Valak turns up. Everything you see pretty much is like a setup for a spooky ghost joke jump later. Like when you see plague graves, which is where these old graves where there would be a bell on top of the grave and a string going through to the coffin underneath in case you were buried by mistake, in case you were just in a coma for back in the day. And, you know, the moment you see those, you know they're going to be doing something where the bells are going off to indicate the ghost is coming. And there's something that happens in that where I forget how good the Conjuring movies and the Annabelle movies can be. Like, they do get you with some really great visuals, but they can also come off as really kind of cheesy. And there's a point in The Nun where something happens where most of the time ghosts are like knocking stuff off shelves, or there's a badly organized knife rack that starts swinging kind of thing. There are all these things that, you know, for the first half of the movie, you're thinking something's not right here, but it's definitely not a demon trying to kill me. There's a point where Valak just like opens their bag of tricks and brings out the nuke. You know what I mean? They bring out the big scare straight off. And it's like, if this demon can do this, nothing you can do can ever stop them. You know what I mean? I think they actually just throw someone into a buried alive grave that even has their name on it. So if they're that well prepared, a bit like Laurie Strode again, there's not an awful lot you can do for it. You've kind of made them a little bit overpowered. But they do counter that by having a grenade full of the blood of Jesus Christ later on.
I can see where you're coming from when you say it doesn't take itself too seriously.
It doesn't tend to, yeah. It's just like everything is a setup for some kind of scare or some kind of joke. I mean, there's 11 nuns praying to keep a rift to hell closed in this movie. And when you see them overhead, they are arrayed in a 4-4-2 formation. Mm. Like they are like a football team keeping evil at bay. So I started laughing. I laughed. This is the thing with horror movies, where there are horror movies, it's such a wide term. You know, even in the 80s, we had video nasties who were like, the UK classed some horror movies like The Evil Dead, which you laugh at The Evil Dead now, but it was classed as a type of movie that shouldn't be watched by people.
Right.
And we talked about slasher movies already. This is the kind of movie where it's literally a roller coaster. You can just enjoy it. And I tend to start laughing at these, not laughing at them, laughing with them. Like, it's scary, but I'm laughing with the scare. I keep trying to say at the scare, but I'm not laughing at the movie. I do think they're very, very clever at what they do, and they manage to pull my strings to the point where my girlfriend won't look at the screen, but I'm laughing my head off, enjoying it. So it's a different type of horror movie from what we talked about with Halloween, but I keep thinking, because there's so many of these Insidious and Conjuring movies, I just tend to forget how good they actually can be when they actually get you.
We are talking about some of the horror movies that are now available on the Astro Go app. You can find them available on demand there. We will have more after this, but if you do have any thoughts, you can send it to us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and on social media, we're at SkipIntroMY. More after this, BFM 89.9.
break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It's Skip Intro with Kelvin Yee and Ian McNally. We're talking about some of the horror movies available on demand on the AstroGo app. You can find more details on watchod.com. Now, we are now moving on to talking about The Sandman. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, not the Neil Gaiman one.
Yeah.
What is this one?
So this took me a while to find, because all you can find is stories online about the Joseph Gordon-Levitt supposedly doing Sandman and that being cancelled and now a new TV show. But this Sandman is a creature feature that came out in 2017 and I actually hadn't heard of.
Hello? Anyone in here?
Watching this, it starts off as, you know, those movies that kind of, it's a creature feature,
yeah.
You know, but it also starts in media res. You just have this father and his daughter on the run from something. You don't know what it is, but he's got a gun in his glove compartment. And when they get caught, this creature comes out and kills him. And you're like, what? You don't know what this is going on. Usually, you know, some moron has to stumble around in a sacred place, reading from an unholy book accidentally, or knocking over a spiritual thing.
Yeah, or unlocking an ancient curse that you just didn't know of.
So this movie, you have to pay attention. It actually, you know, there's something there, but you're not sure why this supernatural creature is stalking this girl. Then Hayley Duff, Hilary Duff's older sister, turns up.
Oh.
who's a bit of a naughty photographer in this movie, but she's a photographer. She doesn't pose for the photos. And she takes the girl under her wing after the father's died. It turns out she's her aunt. And as the story progresses, we talked a little bit about the genres of horror. This movie moves through different genres of horror. Like, it starts off as this kind of creature feature from this kind of unknown monster and trying to find out A, what it is, and B, how to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it kind of flips into the kind of creepy kid territory. You know, a little bit like The Sixth Sense or something like that, or, you know, Orphan, where there's like, you know, there's something not quite right with this kid.
Yeah.
And it kind of has an impact. Then Tobin Bell turns up. So if you don't know who he is, he's Jigsaw from the Saw movies.
Okay.
And he's a creepy looking dude, but he's in charge of a team that want to capture the thing that's causing all this problem, which is a Sandman, which, you know, it's a slightly lower budget movie. The suit looks great of the Sandman creature, but when it kills people with dust, it does look like there's something on the screen. But it just effortlessly kind of slides from each of these genres into the other. And it kind of kept me interested because it is, you know, more of a B movie. And I wasn't thinking that much about it. But it just keeps going, you know, and then, like, you know, you kind of root for the monster for a certain amount of time.
Why?
Because people start threatening the source of it, and it's a person, and I can't say, well, can't spoil that for people, but it's like, yeah, you go, Sandman, you get those guys. And then it switches over again into something else completely different at the end, where you're kind of questioning reality a little bit. There's kind of there's a hypnosis element or something going on there. So it came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. And I think it's only recently been added to AstroGo. So you should check it out. It's if you like, again, this is not that scary. It's more, you know, if you have, it's a baby horror movie. If you want to get like a little bit creeped out, it also has a nice mythology to it. You know, there's this idea, it's tied to children who are born with a caul over their head. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It's like it's a remnant of the membrane from the amniotic sac. And so they take someone, obviously the writer just heard about that and thought, that sounds creepy, and then ran with that to kind of build a really odd and well-constructed mythology around it. So I was surprised at the amount of effort that went to so many different parts of this movie, not expecting much going into it.
For this movie in particular, is the crossing or like the merger of and moving through different horror genres something that's new, or is that something that horror films of late have just been doing because they have to? Like, everything's more or less been done already.
Yeah, I think this is more like a loving retrospective. It's kind of fitting in a few different types of horror movies, much like this show. And it does, you can see the love and the fact that it is having references to Firestarter. There's a message about the Children of the Corn, not the Children of the Corn, references to the Twilight Zone. And other movies, like, you can see that there is a love there. Their reach may exceed their grasp a little bit. I do think, though, with a lot of horror movies, we are getting different types of movies. People are I think, more looking back and evaluating horror. I mean, it's been quite a genre for a while, but it goes in these stages. Like, we talked last week about Japanese and Asian horror,
yeah,
which seemed to have gone down for quite a while after the early 2000s because everyone was just doing that again. With these movies and our next movie, people are doing different things that aren't just playing on what people have done before. So the next one we're going to talk about is It Chapter 1.
Yeah.
Seeing as It Chapter 2 is, I think it's still playing in cinemas.
What happens when another Georgie goes missing? Or one of us?
It's doing quite well.
It's doing quite well. But I was thinking back on watching this movie and looking at my notes from when I keep all my notes. And it was something I remembered about this was, it wasn't really scary. It doesn't do jump scares the way that a lot of the, you know, the Nun and all those movies do. It's not that kind of movie. But it does have this weird sense of, it's not even the dread of an Asian horror movie. Mm. It's really disconcerting imagery.
Right.
A lot of the things, I've seen a GIF pop up just today, I think it was, which was when Pennywise the Clown is dancing, but the camera is locked to his face.
Right, yes, I know that
one. And the whole room shakes and his body shakes, but his head stays completely still. And that look, and I think it's, I can never remember the actor's name, the Sarsgaard, who, Alexander Sarsgaard, right, who plays Pennywise, his look, it's just wildly happening. And apparently that thing he does with his eye, you know, where one eye goes slightly off center and the other one's looking at you?
Yeah.
That's not an effect.
No, he can do it.
Yeah, he can do that.
It's Bill Skarsgård, I think.
Bill Skarsgård.
I remember he can do something like that.
Yeah, and there's a series of photos online from It Chapter 2 with Bill Hader, because Bill Hader didn't know he could do it, and he did it in full makeup. And there's just three photos of Bill Hader looking chill with Bill. Then he does the eye, and he just drops his coffee or his script. And the next photo is just a blur of Bill Hader running out of the out of the frame. And it is something that they've done really well with that movie. They really nailed that creepiness and just weirdness.
Yeah, because I think when I watched it a while ago, and I think it wasn't as scary. There isn't that many elements of jump scares.
I think there might be one actual proper jump scare.
Yeah, there's just, I think, toward maybe the middle of the film. But it just, I think it just leaves you with a lot of sense of mystery, and it just makes you feel like you are trying to uncover something the same way the kids are trying to uncover the mystery behind of what's happening.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part for all these movies we're talking about today. Like, there's a bit of hope in all of them. I think nearly most of these movies,
we're going to solve something.
There is an element of Scooby-Doo, and something is, you know, people forget horror movies. Some people don't like horror movies because they maybe think that they're like, it's just depressing or whatever. But there is an element of hope in all these, that like evil can be defeated or trapped in a basement and set on fire, or, you know, delayed 27 years until it comes around again. You know, there is that hope in there that I think is important for all those movies. These are some of the movies which you can watch on Astro Go. I should also say, I went through their selection to see what else was on there. And there is a couple of other classics on there. So they do have a selection from the Alien series. They have Hellboy and Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. So that's the Guillermo del Toro ones with Ron Perlman. So if you are a scaredy cat, those are pretty good kind of spooky movies that don't really scare anything.
I always assumed the Hellboy series was more of a superhero / action or anti-hero kind of series as opposed to horror.
Kind of, but he is fighting demons and stuff like that. So that kind of gets those. And if you really want to go all out, you've also got a selection of Resident Evil movies. And they've got 2, 3, and 5 on there. I think the first one is still a really, really good movie. They get weirder as they go on. And like, I mean, I have a personal bugbear with the final movie, which I think is not on Astro, but it's called The Final Chapter. And it ends with, like, not a to be continued, but like it leaves with openings for sequel, which annoys the hell out of me.
So again, you can find all those movie on demand with your connected Wi-Fi enabled PV or the AstroGo app. For more information, again, visit watchod.com. And if you've watched any of these, you can let us know what you think. Drop us a note at movies@bfm.my. And you can also find us on social media. We're @skipintromy. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.